I send it to my friend who's incarcerated. My addicted friend who's incarcerated, who is not doing well. So keep tending your prayer. And just a month ago, I traded my old Jeep in and got a new one. You might see the Gladiator out there. It's 2020 and it's black and white. The only stickers that I allow on that vehicle must be black or white. And my Love Wins sticker is right there beneath my American flag. So I'm looking forward to grabbing another Love Wins. Before we read our scripture, I want to introduce myself. I was here last week. My name is Gary Baracco. I am from the United Church of Christ, and I'm serving currently at the Penn Northeast Conference. My home church is Forks UCC in Stockton. So if you're ever in Forks, stop by for our best Forking sauerkraut dinner. Or you can come for Halloween, or after having haunted tours in our graveyard. Yes, and so go to Forks UCC's Facebook page, and you can see what we're doing there. You might even see me portraying a dead person. I'm a bivocational minister. The journey to ordination, pretty close, we'll see. I've got a finish. I've studied under two very famous people, Supervisor Yoder and Joanne Marquette. I'm attending Meridian Seminary, and I've worked with both of your leader, your former leader, and your current leader, to learn a lot, and I was absolutely blessed a few weeks ago when Joanne said, "Would you preach at the bar?" My current mission is I'm representing the Northeast United States as the Three Great Loves Ambassador. And I'll talk more about the Three Great Loves Initiative, but my goal is to visit congregations all around the Northeast and tell them that we are creating a just world for all. In order to do that, we need to do three very simple things. Love your neighbor. Love and care for your children. And love the earth. For the children are here to inherit it, and it's not looking very good. My teacher next week will say, "Make America green again." This week it says, "Make America love again." So easy. Thank you to the president for giving us easy things to do. I try not to be too political, but my call to ministry occurred about 10 years ago. I spent my first 20 years of my career in the military, and I retired from the Army in 2000. I went into the corporate world, and I've been doing that now 19 years, where I work in corporate marketing for an international software company. And that keeps me busy Monday through Friday, sometimes on Saturdays and Sundays too. Almost every Saturday, I try to do outreach, about 9 different outreach programs I'm involved with. The homeless, as a matter of fact, this weekend, if you are on the Penn Northeast UCC site, you'll see that we had about 71 of our youth sleep in cardboard boxes last night to truly experience what homelessness is like. I don't know what happened in that rainstorm that came through, so I'm sure they might have scurried inside. But all of this work is intrinsic to us, and you'll hear it relayed in my message to you today. Before we start, let's hear a word of scripture. Tell me what you please. And I didn't pick this, you guys did. Somebody last week picked this scripture.
Matthew 5:43-48, and this is taken from the message. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemies. In challenging that and telling you to love your enemies, let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with energies of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm us and the rain to nourish. To everyone, regardless of the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anyone can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. You live like it. So now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others and the way God gives towards you.
The word of our Lord.
That's such a scripture, and actually I can tell you a story about that. But I think it was Bob or somebody who was sitting here last week, and he's not here this week, and I asked him to read it. But when we engaged in discussion in the community last week, he said, let's remember Matthew, where he says, love not just your friend and your neighbor, but love your enemy as well. At General Synod this year, which is the National Convention for the United Church of Christ, we voted on a few resolutions, and I'm stepping away from our script, but one of the resolutions, which was very important to the UCC denomination, dealt with our exhibit space at the convention. And at the last convention, we allowed a table of exhibit space for a group in the UCC denomination, but a group of congregations that actually does not believe in same-sex marriage, even though the denomination does. And we allowed them to have exhibit space. And so the resolution came forward that we shouldn't allow them to be in our exhibit space because we are then creating an unsafe environment for our LGBTQ community. And those of us who are openly gay said no. When someone draws a circle and you're not in it, draw a bigger circle and include them. And if we exclude them from coming to our national convention, they cannot hear and see the words that we speak. And they can't become our friends and understand our differences. That scripture shoots right at that. And we voted it down and it went to deliberation because we want to include everybody. We are doing exactly what they are doing, excluding others. So let's move on. So, we started reading this book. Yeah, it's me, probably.
Hello, Holy Spirit.
We started reading this book, and this is a book that Pastor Joe passed on to me, and I grabbed it right away, and I just love it. But it's not a book that talks about uncommon subjects. There's many more like this published recently. It's The Art of Christianity, Rediscovering a Life of Faith by Marcus Ford. And last week, Joanne talked about pretty much what happens in chapter 1, but I'm also going to summarize some of that in my message today. So, because I know that all of you are not as diligent in reading this book as I am. But chapter 2 is called Faith, the Way of the Heart. And I mentioned that my mission at the national setting is working toward creating a just world for all. And so we've got these new mission and purpose and vision statements, and they're not uncommon to the Barnes mission, purpose, and vision statements, to create a just world for all. But Christian hearts actually find that it's difficult to live up to our role model. Who's our role model? The risen Christ. But the Jesus, the walking Jesus, was our role model. We have to understand the differences. Maybe I'll be able to come back and talk about those two different personas. So as we read through Ward's book, we learn that there's not a lot different than what our ancestors in organized religion went through. And you'll hear me say this. I don't like organized religion. I prefer disorganized religion over everything. And the barn resembles disorganized religion. There are no standards. This is how much I like disorganized religion. I don't know if you can see me now. And I'm even going to go further and put my rainbow on to show our diversity. Disorganized religion. We're living in a time of change and conflict. And do we realize that?
That this is change. What you've created here at the barn is change, but it's not much different. Because the Ford reminds us, as he finishes chapter 2, that life ends with what? How does life end?
Death.
And there's death in churches, too, and death in religion, and death in denominations. Do we know what we're seeing here? We're seeing Martin Luther, who's overturning the way church was done. And this has happened. You know, we're in this thing where nothing is new. Talked about this yesterday with some folks. Nothing's new in our world. We got into new 2020, and I was like, can we push the button for the channel to change?
Remember that?
And I was like, remember how you set those presets on the dial? But it wasn't all digital and display screens. We listened to a song the other day from the 70s. And the song said, I tried calling you, but you weren't home. You had to be home for me to talk to you. Not in the line at the grocery store. Not driving in your car. So I left you a message on your answering machine. Text me next time. It's much easier. We've changed. Everything is working well. And the plane's kind of on autopilot. And that's how our world is. But then there's new growth. And there's change. And there's technology. Last week you mentioned that you needed to change your barn values. Who can remember that conversation? What changed?
We added gratitude.
And this morning we talk about gratitude. The crop walk. The giving. This is gratitude. An outward sign that we are Jesus' followers. That we are following our role model. Walking Jesus. And before you know it, church is going to survival mode, and we put on our robes, and we vanish, clapping. Clapping. I went to a church, and I started clapping. I said, I'm saying amen with my hands. And everyone looked at me, no, we don't do that here. last Saturday, Joe and I and a bunch of others went to my mentor pastor's mother's funeral on Saturday morning, and it was at a high Catholic church. And we all just felt so stale. We certainly weren't invited to take communion with the others. And we felt excluded. And the beginning of the service was just also creepy. Right? Because here's the guy in his big robes in the back of the church, and you don't hear him. All we hear is,
we're here today to celebrate the life and death of Edna Buttercrust.
And I'm like, oh my, this is really not the sending off I want. So let's talk about change in our church and where we're going. The church attic. We're going to the church attic and we're going to clean it out. And we're going to see what's up there and say, we don't need this, we haven't used that in a long time. Maybe we do away with the organ. Try and take out the pews. What's going to happen if we don't have pews? Where will the people sit? In chairs and on couches? That's absurd. That's not church. That's a coffee house. But this isn't unfamiliar. Because every 500 years, it's documented that churches go through a cleaning out of the attic. They change the way things happen. See, Christianity emerged sometime around the 1st century A.D., give or take a few years, depending who's saying what. But the first change was the fall of the Western Roman Empire, because the Roman Empire controlled the church. And then the second change, about 500 years later, was the schism of 1054. Now we're at 2020. How many more changes do we have? Well, the Protestant Reformation, of course. And then the fourth, the year 2000. The year 2000 was 500 years. So here we are in transformation. Here we are in the new church. So, how should we change or transform? How is the church changing and transforming? Well, I want to share something with you, and then I'm going to open it up to the community. So whoever has the mic, Kelly has it. So
I have the mic.
Good, thank you. I was invited to a men's breakfast by another pastor from the Ohio Valley. And he called me and he said, "Gary, I'd like you to come to a men's breakfast that I've been conducting for about 10 years. And it's on Friday mornings at 8:30. He didn't tell me that it was like a 3-hour breakfast. And by the way, I have a job. So we scheduled all my appointments later in the day on Friday. And I went out to Route 100 and I'm sitting, I walk into this diner and pastors there, and maybe 10 men, all over 68, 70, 75, are having breakfast. And he said to me before I went, "I want you to share and provide some testimony to this man, because they don't understand that the Bible is not to be taken literally. And they told me that they're not opening their hearts to the LGBT community in their church. And you are an example of someone who served our country for 20 years and has a full-time job, a wonderful family with children and grandchildren, and you're ministering. Can you please come and talk?" And I said, "Am I supposed to just go there and kind of out myself and say, 'Here I am'? What do you want me to do?" And I sat down and opened the door, I sat down across from the man with the Bible with a lot of tabs on it. We know that kind. And he and I talked for a good hour because the rest of the table was convincing about how we're paying the pastor too much. And we let families into our church, but they're not getting enough. And the Bible says, and the Bible says, and the Bible says. And before I left, I said to the gentleman, "I need to leave because I've got to go back to work. Next time I come visit you, I'd like to ask you one question if you could answer it. What are you willing to let change about your church? What are you willing to let change about your church?" As if you have a say, what will you let change? So, many of us landed here at the barn for a reason. Something different. So what are you willing to let change about your church? Not this community. Let's answer some of that. Let's talk about that. Anyone? No?
Can you rephrase the question?
Yeah. Why are you here and not at another church? Because this is a change. And what's different here that you wanted to change in that other church? And so I asked these 70-year-old men, and I said, "Hey, are you willing to not have confession every Sunday?" "Well, no, we must have confession every Sunday. We do communion on the first Sunday month. No changes. And the children will not administer the elements to us, even if it's National Children's Day. It must be an element."
"Because the first time we walked in here, I didn't feel like everybody held their breath when they looked at my family."
"Like me when I walked through that room." It was an exercise, folks. The looks that I got booted, Joanne and Bunny.
We deal more with the heart, and I dealt more with the head before. And sometimes we do both, which is good. I got
it. Right. So my example earlier about our Catholic funeral was all about the head. It was nothing about the heart. It was so little emotion in that marble-covered room. It was cold going through. Yes.
We just changed. My grandson came and said it's a great church.
services, and as her gig, and I've been at the old church since I was a baby, so it was a little hard. No, I'm not getting anything out of this. And we were trying to change to get younger people in this community, but it just didn't happen. And when I came here, I said, I can feel the Holy Spirit in here.
Yeah. The heart. The heart is here. The heart is center.
Yeah.
And what we're reading is the heart of Christianity. And we're finding that we need to change, and it's okay to change.
Jared?
Yep. Wow. We're here because at the barn, we have deliberate conversations about things that are difficult. Not just the things that are easy, but the things that are difficult. One of the things that I really love about the barn community is we do it in the gathering, right? That we have very tough conversations. We don't push aside the fact that we're having a tough conversation. And people express themselves, and at the end of the day, we still leave loving each other and accepting each other, but we're not afraid to have this conversation. Okay, so maybe sometimes we are, but in general, really, but in general, people welcome those difficult conversations. Like when our founding pastor left to start another community, we're having a deliberate conversation about how that feels and what that means for us and for her. We're not just kind of sweeping it under the rug and expecting that it's going to go away because it isn't. And I think that's a move forward in the fact that change is going to happen whether you want it to be there or not. And this community, I wouldn't say welcomes it, but this community understands that and addresses it.
And that really is all of those points that change needs to happen. We cannot stand still while society moves forward. And we need to look at that in every way. Because what did Jesus do? Did he stand still while society inflicted pain on people? Jesus fought the leaders of that time. He fought controversy. He fought his Jewish Bible. And said, no, that's not a 100% right. A couple interesting points that I could go on and talk about. All really good points. One more here. And I won't put the visitors on this problem.
Well, your question about why here. I feel like in my old church, it was very, very routine. I found myself looking at my watch, you know, figuring out how long the sermon was going to be. It's not like any of that day. I don't sit out there, so maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like this is a community that really doesn't look at the watch. I know Joe is conscious of the time in general, but like for us, we're here as long as we want to be here, engaging in conversation, discussion, as Jared mentioned. So for me, I felt like it wasn't just a check in the box. Like Sunday morning, go to church, I check the box, I'm done. I feel like I'm engaged here and that said, I think, you know, we should be asking ourselves also about change here, but that implies that we don't need to, so we've got to be careful about thinking we don't need to change. And just a quick side note, just because of people wearing robes or marbles, that doesn't mean that they're not doing the good things we're doing here. So we can't lump them into a certain box either.
Amen.
I just want to kind of say that one of the things we are trying to do here is get back to the original ways of worshiping God in the early Christian church. And you know, they had a lot of issues, and there, as they were, all these different people were worshiping God in different ways, although there was this kind of a standard way that was growing. But also that in today's age, we have many different styles of worship. And for instance, my daughter is in the Catholic Church, very conservative. And for her wedding, they actually sang in Latin. And it was glorious. It was a totally different kind of worship and being with God. And many people came from many different but almost unanimously they all felt the Holy Spirit in that church, and the transformation for my daughter using that system. So although we are in the midst of change, we also don't want to throw the baby out of the bathwater.
Right.
And for some people, it's that way.
And there's not a right or wrong either. I'm not saying that the Catholic Church, our service, was wrong. It was okay for them. That's what they felt moved them closer to God at the time. But those of us who are walking in a different relationship with God are connected in a different way. With that, I'm going to institute a small change today to the morning. And we're going to sing. Because I said, when your call came, she said, well, there's no liturgy, by the way. And I said, oh, okay, I can't just pull something out from my box. And I said, but do you have any creeds that you recite? The Lord's Prayer? Something? She said, no, not really. And I said, well, do you think we could introduce one? Because she and I were at a seminar, and we heard this one introduced. So we're going to put this, the words on the screen of a new creed that's sung as a chant. So this is a new version of the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to sing each line on one note, like a chant. And Glenn is going to give us those notes and sing with us. Let's sing along with this and see how that feels.
Thank you.
us. So then I will say, yes, let's try this. Let's see. So maybe not today, maybe another day, maybe we'll come in again and see. But let's talk next about church. Can you get the slide? What do you think is happening in this picture?
What's going on?
Where are we when we're in here? Someone maybe dissect that for me.
In our own head.
Where are they? Where are they? Where do you think they are?
They're not there. Like, physically,
where are they? Yes, physically. They're in fellowship. What about that other picture with the robes and the guys with all of the hats and stuff? Isn't that fellowship? Well, yeah, it is too. So I googled emerging church, or emergent church, and this is what came. And I sat here last week, and I saw the windows over here, and I saw somebody up here, and I saw microphones, and I said, yes, that's church. That's church today. And we mentioned that the church of yesterday might have been in our house or in our coffee house.
Right.
And it could be anywhere. Thank you for affirming me. Amen. So what is the difference between traditional and emerging? There is a difference, and we're going to talk about each of them. But before we do that, well, no, we'll do that now. Go ahead. Traditional. The traditional church focuses on the divine. All of the characters in the story are the divine. God and Jesus divine, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Mother, all of them are divine. As opposed to talking about the humans in that story. Where are the humans? My daughter said to me, how on earth did Mary get pregnant? Another day here. Right? She's human still, even though divine. And when we look not in emerging, but we look at traditional anew. How do we take the old and we renew that? And we retain what we loved about it. And what we didn't like, we think of it a different way. We look at the literal Bible. The Bible at my men's breakfast, the one with all the tags, that says, wait, there's only a few gospels, and that is the real message of Jesus. Not all of it. Not the Jewish Bible that actually leads into our New Testament Bible. And if we look at the Bible today, we look at it as a historical Bible instead of a literal Bible. And we say, there's some great history there. Maybe we should learn from that history. We should look at those examples. And we should use them as metaphors for our life. It's a metaphorical Bible. And of course, the tradition. The Catholics, of course, say you must live right today so that you gain entrance into the eternal kingdom. We say we must live right today to make this life better. If we live right, we die just like everyone else. And I tell people, when you accept Christianity and you become a follower of Christ, you're given a ticket. That might come true or it might not, but you lived your life wonderfully. You lived your life following Jesus, the walking Jesus. This is the difference between traditional and emergent. And as we look at the barn values, we say, how does what we do here at the barn reflect on our traditional anew? We've taken the words that are all in the Bible, the lessons in the historical Bible, and put them in today's context. I need balance, but I also need creativity. I need hope in times of despair. All of it comes into play. Now, last week, next slide, we talked about some things. We said we need to understand how we are living out our lives as Christians and as a Christian community. And understanding that not everyone here is a Christian how do we even still use the living Christ as an example of our lives and our role model? Well, three things. God is central, and we trust Him. Loyalty is equated to trust. Let's talk about that next. The Bible is God's revelation, His spoken word, revealed to us through other people. God didn't speak directly to any of the writers of the Bible. He might have given them ideas, the Holy Spirit might have come to them, they lived a life, they walked with Jesus, and some never met Jesus at all. Jesus Christ is God's Son, and He died for us. We need to accept that as a Christian. But why did He die for us is another reason. Let's move on. Let's continue this and talk first about the way of in love. Who can read for me? Donovan, you have a moving voice. So what does that mean to us? It relates back to our Matthew scripture as well, right? Love your neighbor and your enemy as well. We can't just say, well, I love you because you love me. God loved us first, and we must first show love to them. It's an inclusion circle. By excluding others, we already are showing that we don't love them. And then next, we hear. And I'm wearing my comma today intentionally. So we understand the UCC comma. I'll explain it. God is still speaking. Never place a period where God intended to put a comma. And we take that literal Bible and we transform it into metaphorical statements on how to live today. The conversation with God is unending. And it reflects on how we live today in this society, not a society 2,000 years ago that makes no sense. Absolutely different. And finally, our third tenet is we need to take a step of faith. And we need to walk as followers of Jesus, the living Jesus. We certainly can follow the risen Jesus too. But the examples are all from when Jesus was walking. And so what does it take to follow in His footsteps? Think of the words, the songs that we sang before. I will follow you if you lead me. And there's a reason why He's a great role model. So as we come to a close, I'm going to wrap up with three thoughts. Stuff the Bible says. Three great thoughts. Love your neighbor. We talked about that extensively. We'll talk about Love Your Planet if you invite me back another day. Because I got lots to talk about there. And of course, love our children. We see some amazing things happening here. So thank you for bringing your kids. I'm sorry I bored you for so long, guys. It's all right. At the end, I want to talk about something that I, in my Three Great Loves mission work, I use three examples of subcultures in our world that we don't understand a lot about that might already have this right. And I talk about the North American Indians when it relates to love of creation. And I talk about the fierce tribes of the Zulus in two instances. Because the Zulu, when they first, in some of the cultures of the Zulu, they first greet each other. The greeting is, does anyone know? Ubuntu is one. This is for love of neighbor, right? Ubuntu. They say, I see you. And you say, I'm here to be seen. And this is all centered around Ubuntu, because Ubuntu means I'm going to live transparently with you, and I'm going to accept you as God created you. That's Ubuntu.
I'm a person through other people. You bring me into society when you accept me. When you don't accept me, I'm not part of this society. And by being in community together, whether I'm wearing long flowing robes with velvet ornaments, whether my family might look different than yours, that's the Lord's. And they also have another saying where they first ask, and how are the children? And the response is, all the children are well, even if I don't have children. If I'm the fiercest warrior of that tribe, because without the children, the future is not guaranteed for our society. So focus on those three things. I'm going to conclude now and say thank you for having me. I hope to come again. Are there any questions before we wrap? We're an hour into this already. Yes?
You opened up with the Matthew text, and I've also said this to the next group I have, that to love your enemy, we all say, yes, it's the right thing to do, but it's really hard to really love your enemy. And I think what that separates that is that it's superhuman. And to be superhuman, you have to be tied into the spirit of the divine.
Right?
And all that justice happened. I think that's what Jesus was basically saying. Love your neighbor, you love yourself, but I'm asking you to love your enemy. And he's really trying to bring that along with his spirit.
I often get asked, who's your neighbor? Is the neighbor the thousands of immigrants that have walked to the Mexican border and we're building a wall? But I don't have enough food to feed them. I don't have a place to house them. I don't have medical care to give them. And I guess it was another topic of, well, maybe we should fix where they're coming from. Right? I can love my neighbor by fixing where they're coming from first. Thank you. Thank you, Gary. Thank you for your fluorescent yellow shirt and rainbows and your comments. So, if you'd like to gather any prayer requests that you have or any joys that you have, I have a little on the prayer wall. But what else do we have that you want to lift up as a community this morning? Others? Jared?
My grandmother's health and how it affects my family. Will please remember the youth that came together the last few days and kind of sacrificed their iPhones for 24, 38 hours, but got to hear more about what it might be like to sleep without a home.